Claussen, we do have an A5. When we have a quorum, we'll adopt it, but for clarity, we'll make reference to it for your presentation. Please proceed.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members, and thank you for the opportunity to meet with you this morning. We will be talking about Senate File 2459, and it has been announced we do have an A5 amendment, and I think you all should have a copy.
Correct.
Senate File 2459 addresses implementation concerns regarding the Teacher Development and Evaluation Program passed by the legislature in 2011. We all want great teachers in our Minnesota classrooms, and I believe the Teacher Development Evaluation Program will develop great teachers while emphasizing continuous improvement and professional development. The Department of Education is currently in the process of piloting the Teacher Development and Evaluation Program in 17 school districts around the state. And these pilots are funded by the department with statewide implementation scheduled for the 2014-2015 school year. There are two key elements that I'd like to share with you this morning about Senate File 2459. The first is that Minnesota currently has two teacher evaluation policies and legislation, the Teacher Development and Evaluation Program and the Minnesota Alternative Teacher Professional Pay System, better known as QCOMP. And Senate File 2459 seeks to align these two similar teacher evaluation programs, capitalizing on the best elements of both programs. Secondly, Senate File 2459 addresses implementation inequity issues between the Teacher Development Evaluation School Districts and the QCOMP School Districts. By providing a per-teacher allocation for the non-QCOMP districts, we hope that we can overcome this. I'd like to go into depth a little bit and talk about the first issue that I brought up, and that's the alignment of the Teacher Development Evaluation Program and QCOMP. And I'd like to turn your attention to a map that you have that was passed out to you earlier today. That map identifies the Minnesota school districts across the state that have QCOMP. And you'll know that notice that we have 68 school districts in the state, 36 are in outstate Minnesota, 32 are in the metro area. I think it's also important to look that the QCOMP districts comprise a little over 50% of the total student population in the state. I'd also at this time like for you to turn your attention to the aligning teacher evaluation document that you have. It's a two-sided document, and listed on that document are the 13 key requirement components in the Teacher Development Evaluation Statute. And to the far right of each component is the origin of the item or where you would find it in the two statutes pertaining to teacher evaluation. So in some cases, you'll see Teacher Development Evaluation Program listed and perhaps a corresponding QCOMP component when appropriate. And some of the QCOMP components are commonly held practices because the QCOMP program was actually developed individually by each school district to fit its needs. Senate File 2459 maintains the Teacher Development and Evaluation Statute requirements and also requires QCOMP districts to comply as needed. And again, if you turn to the backside of that document, you will find on the handout additional requirements for QCOMP districts and charter schools. It's listed there. Another point to bring out is that currently QCOMP funds are no longer available. There is a cap on the funding, and all funds have been allocated at this time. The second issue that we earlier brought up was equity. And as we have reviewed, the components of the Teacher Development Evaluation Program and QCOMP can be easily integrated. However, non-QCOMP schools are challenged by the fact that funding has not been appropriated for implementation. QCOMP districts receive state funding of $169 per pupil unit annually for implementation. And these districts can also levy an additional $91 for implementation. The teacher evaluation, the Teacher Accountability and Growth Program, however, is unfunded. In February 2014, the University of Minnesota Center for Applied Research and Educational Improvement, CARI, released a preliminary report on the implementation of the Teacher Development and Evaluation Pilot Program. And you have a copy of the summary findings. And I'd just like to point out two of those findings. And if you would take a look at that, please. If you look at bullet number three, considerable professional development is needed to support teacher development evaluation. Summative evaluations, peer reviewers, and teachers are learning new ways to work. Not only is significant training needed at the start of the evaluation work, but ongoing support is needed if evaluation procedures are to be implemented successfully. That points out some of the training that has to take place for this program. And then if you look at the fifth bullet down, it talks about educators see the value of teacher development evaluation, and they are concerned about sustainability because of the lack of funding. So I thought I'd point those two items out to you through the Carey report. Senate File 2459 seeks to provide district implementation equity by allocating financial aid for the non-QCOMP school districts to complete their teacher development evaluation plans and training of personnel. So there's a $280 per full-time teacher equivalent cost attached to the Senate file. The total teacher development evaluation revenue allocation must not exceed $10 million for fiscal year 2015. If you look, now that you have a little bit of information, I would like just to turn your attention to the amendment and just talk briefly about some of the contents. If you look
recently,
at
line... Excuse me, recently arriving members were referring to the A5 amendment. When we have a quorum, we'll entertain that, but for clarity, we'll refer to it now. Please proceed.
Lines 1.2 and 1.3, it deletes language that appropriates dollars from non-QCOMP districts, and this appropriation is replaced in lines 1.4 through 1.6. 1.5 through 1.6 deletes the phase-in implementation of the teacher development evaluation plan, and that has been eliminated from the Senate file 2459. Lines 1.7 through 1.9, the deletion applies the evaluation alignment language to charter schools, and it's replaced on line 1.13. Lines 1.12 through 1.18 applies funding and allocation to non-QCOMP teacher development evaluation districts and details how the appropriation is to be distributed. I believe it also defines teacher in that area as well. Line 1.9 through 1.21, it caps the total appropriation at $10 million. And lines 1.23 through 1.25 gives authority to the Minnesota Department of Education to distribute the funds. Lines 1.26 through 1.27 identifies what the appropriation is to be spent on. Line 1.28 identifies, again, the amount of the appropriation and the fiscal year of availability. And then line 1.29, the appropriation does not have tails and is to be distributed until the funding is depleted. With that, we do have some people that are here to testify. I'd like to introduce Ms. Jody Olson, Education Issues Specialist, Education Minnesota, and also Ms. Kathy Saltzman from Students First. And we have a couple other people as well, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Welcome.
So, Ms. Olson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Jody Olson, and I was recently hired as an Education Issues Specialist at Education Minnesota. I'm on a one-year leave from the Wayzata School District, and I'm focusing much of my efforts on teacher evaluation. As a lifelong educator, I, along with teachers all across the state, support the efforts of Minnesota to establish and implement a comprehensive and robust evaluation program. We know that research shows that meaningful and effective teacher evaluations, when tied to professional development, impact student learning. Students thrive in classrooms where teachers have access to professional development, feedback from peers and administrators, and opportunities for reflection on professional practice. In support of these efforts, Education Minnesota has partnered with more than 60 of our local unions in implementing QCOMP plans that hold evaluation and professional development as their foundation. We have worked with other advocates on an agenda that aligns QCOMP and TDE, and we appreciate the commitment that Senator Klassen has shown in making sure these policies are streamlined, as well as his willingness to support funding for this mandate. Education Minnesota has a clear record of supporting the work of teacher evaluation. Since the passage of the legislation, we partnered with the Minnesota School Boards Association in developing and delivering day-long joint team training for over 600 teachers and administrators from 115 districts. This training focused on understanding the components of the law and provided guidance for teams to develop their own local plans. We have also offered more than 50 training opportunities to support the evaluation and professional development components of the law. This type of training took place in every region of the state and has reached over 1,600 educators. The TDE resource materials that have been developed by EdMen are viewed as important sources. Their guidance on the components of the law, examples of effective practice, and framework for implementing evaluation plans are being used by joint teams all over the state. As we have covered the state, however, we have become even more concerned about the inequities between QCOMP districts and non-QCOMP districts in relationship to TDE. QCOMP plans include approximately three-fourths of the components in TDE, including peer review, observations, and job-embedded professional development. Schools with 50% of the students in the state, either in public or charter schools, have resources through QCOMP that the districts can use to meet the requirements of the law. At this point, the cap on QCOMP funds mean there are no available resources for the remaining districts. Lakeville, St. James, and Redwood area schools are some of the districts that have submitted plans to MDE with no hope of funding. There is administrative support for this legislation as well. Larry Martini, business manager in the Forest Lake School District, was hoping to join us today, but is unable to, and his superintendent was not able to clear her schedule. Larry testified on behalf of this alignment issue last week, as has Cindy Hansen, principal of a K-8 school in Pine Island that has piloted the state model, as well as Tony Mazaros, director of administrative services in Lakeville. The reality for us today is the $75 million of investment in QCOMP schools covers only 50% of the students in the state. Education Minnesota fully supports this bill's attempt to meet some of the needs of the remaining districts. The $10 million in this legislation represents a start in fulfilling our commitment to the rest of the students in Minnesota and begins to address the inequities in the system. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Olson. Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Olson, good to see you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Members, I actually had a bill that didn't get a hearing that addressed exactly what Ms. Olson is talking about, the non-QCOMP districts and the need to really bring them to the same playing field that the QCOMP districts are. And just so that you have an idea of the scope of what that would look like, I never got the actual fiscal note, but I was advised it was somewhere in the range of $85 million, and that would have been to give a temporary same per pupil amount to every non-QCOMP district for a three-year period while they move towards complying with both QCOMP and the teacher evaluation. So I was really distressed when I saw the Education Committee's action to delay teacher evaluation. I'm not on that committee. I would have been a strong and vociferous opponent of that plan, but I'm grateful that Senator Claussen is now bringing forward this attempt to not only make sure that teacher evaluation is implemented with this kind of urgency that I believe we all would like, but also finding a way to free up some funds towards that effort. So thank you.
Noted. Thank you, Senator Bonoff. Ms. Olson, if you can be available for questions or additional feedback as needed.
Absolutely.
Ms. Saltzman.
There. I'm Kathy Saltzman, Mr. Chair of Students First, and as I shared with the author, I'm delighted to be here today to speak in support of this amendment. I think it's always difficult when you have to speak against a bill, and I think the delay was something that was of great concern to everyone who really sees these evaluations as a way to really elevate the teaching profession, provide teachers with meaningful feedback, and ensure that our students have the most effective teachers in their classrooms. So with that, I have talked to the author and share with him that we fully support that this amendment to keep the evaluations on time. At the same time, we also want to applaud his efforts to really acknowledge the fact that, you know, the implementation needs to be meaningful. It needs to be successful, and having these resources as a bridge to be able to support the districts who do not have QComp. We also want to support the fact that it is for 1 year so that you as a finance committee can really come back and look at how to align the teacher evaluation system and QComp. We think that that's a very meaningful alternative compensation system. We think that, again, it also supports the real important training that is needed to make sure that this launch of the teacher evaluations is very successful. So with that, Mr. Chair, I just want to thank this committee for, I'm having the time to look at this again, and also the author for his important work. I know he is very committed to making sure that these evaluations are very successful and meaningful to teachers.
Thank you, Ms. Saltzman. I believe we have two additional witnesses that have signed up, Sam Walseth and Valerie Dowsland. And if others, we're hearing a continual theme of support on the amended version, and we appreciate hearing that and the work of the author.
Mr. Chairman and members, Sam Walseth with the Minnesota Rural Education Association, and we are here today to support Senator Klassen's bill. You should have in your packet a handout, just a map of Minnesota that shows the districts who have QComp and those who don't. And after about a decade of the program's existence, we still only have about a 13% footprint in greater Minnesota of districts participating in QComp. And some of that, of course, is our own fault. But certainly the evaluation mandate is slated to take effect next year. My members would, they've never seen a mandate they wouldn't like to see delayed or repealed, so certainly a one-year delay would be appreciated. But our first and foremost priority is seeing some resources dedicated and reserved for the purposes of evaluations, and evaluator training and peer coaching would certainly go a long way to helping our districts who are facing this new responsibility come the next school year. The 2% staff development set aside is potentially a source of revenue. However, through the Great Recession, a lot of those dollars have been exhausted as districts used transferred those dollars back into for general purposes. So we do see a need to create a separate categorical to reserve some dollars for these evaluation efforts. Mr. Chairman and members, with that, I'll wrap up and stand for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wall said that 8:45, a quorum present, and Senator Johnson moves the A5 amendment. Discussion? All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Ms. Dowsland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Valerie Dowsland, and I represent the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Gary Amoroso is not able to be here today, so he asked me to present. I just want to thank Senator Klassen for his work on the teacher evaluation bill and for this amendment. MASA strongly supports providing additional resources to cover the costs that districts will be faced with teacher evaluation. You know, you hear us talk often about all the financial challenges that districts face. This soon will be another financial challenge that districts face, and we strongly support providing additional revenue to cover these costs.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm Roger Arntz, and I represent the Elementary and the Secondary Principals Association. We're on the doorstep of starting these evaluations. We're going to spend an awful lot of time doing them the next several years. There's a lot of resources that's going to be devoted to doing those. You're going to hear a lot about that and reporting back. This is a really good help in the launch of that process. It is a big statewide process. We have high hopes for it, and this will help very, very much. And so we appreciate Senator Klassen's efforts here and the committees as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Kronquist.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. Scott Kronquist with the Association of Metropolitan School Districts. And I guess I'm going to echo a lot of what my colleagues have been saying, and we want to thank Senator Klassen for bringing this forward. We support the amendment. The need for resources for non-QComp districts in particular is acute, as you all know. And the need to work forward in terms of better aligning the teacher evaluation system and the professional pay system is also critically important, and we hope to work with you next year on that. I do just want to go on the record, though, Mr. Chairman and members. I think there's a wide perception that QComp districts have plenty of money to do this, and I would take some contention with that. Districts that are in QComp are fully using those resources already in a number of ways, and all the reports I have from our QComp members is that they are going to need some additional help as well implementing this. So it's not quite, you know, the perception that they're awash in cash and don't have any problems implementing teacher evaluation is not accurate. But, again, we support the amendment and thank Senator Clausen and all of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Mary Gilbert from the St. Paul Public Schools, and I, too, want to echo. Senator Clausen has done a great job trying to get some movement toward this area. St. Paul is a district that is not a QComp district, and even if we did get a plan approved, the QComp pool is empty, and so the only way that anybody can get in QComp now is for another district to drop out, which would be highly unlikely, and so we do really appreciate his efforts, as it is a pretty expensive undertaking, not only dealing with our regular instructional staff, but all of the specialty staff that we have at the district developing rubrics to do the evaluations.
Thank you. Ms. Gilbert?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Grace Kelleher, and I represent the Minnesota School Boards Association, and I want to thank Senator Clausen for his work on this. Certainly his understanding of how a school works in a day-to-day manner has been very useful for this committee and very useful on this issue. Teacher evaluation is a huge responsibility that districts are working through and are eager to start, but in fact, it is going to cause a repositioning of dollars throughout the state to make it effective. And this is a start in looking about how much we could do this, how much this will cost going forward. We are hopeful that you would collect some kind of information back on the $10 million you're investing. What did you get for the $10 million? How many training sessions? How many teachers? So you get a feel as we come into next year about how to sort of level the playing field across the state for school districts. So it gives you sort of an opportunity to do that and as well as take a look at the pilot sites going around the state and best practices from them that we could all learn from. So this will really enable us to get a head start. And it was very creative thinking. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut here at the Capitol, and Senator Clausen was able to get us up out of there and back, focusing on the teachers who are really the folks that teacher evaluation is all about.
Thank you. Ms. Keller.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Clausen or Ms. Keller here, I'm one you brought up about, you know, evaluating what you get from the $10 million. Is there something in this legislation that does that?
Mm-mm.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, we do not currently have an evaluation piece connected to this. We're conscious of the cost involved. We wanted to get the money to the district, so we do not have an evaluation piece currently.
And Mr. Chair, regarding the money that has been spent in the QComp districts, is there any evaluation or any sort of results that you could delineate has happened with the money that has been spent?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, yes. The department has done some studies on this for the QComp districts, and they have to report annually to the department on their progress and their program. And so there has been some feedback through the department and through those QComp districts.
And Mr. Chair, are those evaluations available for us?
Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, yes. Perhaps
maybe someone from the department.
Someone from the department would like to comment, but those are available. And I think every district in their annual report that is a QComp district also contains information on the program and their annual report to their communities as well.
And members and Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
You know, I think it's really critical, and I'm happy that Ms. Keller brought that up, because it is important for us to look at what we are really getting and how much it's affect the testing skills our students because of that money being spent.
Mr. Corte, on Senator Johnson's question on evaluation data.
Mr. Chair, members, Darren Corte with the Minnesota Department of Education. As you know, all QCOMP districts are required to submit a plan to MDE as far as how they plan to implement their QCOMP program and how they intend to spend the money. So to that extent, we have those plans, and we check in with districts to make sure that they're on track with those plans. As far as kind of a global look at the success of the QCOM program, we haven't done that at the department level, but there was a study that was published through the U of M this past year that indicated some benefit in terms of increases in grade level reading for students who are in QCOM districts versus those who are not. And we could certainly get you a copy of that study.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that's exactly what I would be looking for. So thank you.
Senator Torres-Ray.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Closen, if you are not opposed to it, I would like to put an amendment right now into your bill to address that issue. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Closen. Perhaps we can add C, a provision C, that says MDE should conduct an evaluation of how this appropriation is being distributed and outcomes associated with those appropriations. So it's broad enough to just simply say, who received these dollars and how these dollars have been used so that we can begin to look at, who's not getting the money and what can we do with that amount of money and review that next time we come back to it.
Mr. Chair and Senator Torres-Ray, I think that's a good idea. We'd like to hear from Mr. Corte from the department, though, on your proposal as well.
Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Maybe a question for Senator Torres-Ray. Does that include then a report about the outcomes for the other QCOMP money or just this?
Mr. Chair and Senator Johnson, my sense is that I can only amend this particular language because this appropriation is for this, but I would, I think that trying to figure out how the QCOM dollars are working is a good idea, but I'm not sure that I can put that amendment here.
Mr. Corte, on the suggestion for an evaluation component in a proposed C?
Mr. Chair and Senator Torres-Ray, I think that there may be some value in looking at how this $10 million affects non-QCOMP districts for the fiscal 15 only. I think that when you're only looking at kind of a one-year window like this, any evaluation that we do is going to be pretty limited in scope. And in order, I'm not sure when the report back to you all would be, if that would be at the beginning of February, kind of when our reports to the legislature are normally due. If that's the case, I'm not sure that we would have enough time between the beginning of the fiscal year and the reporting date to actually have any information that would really be of value for you in making determinations next year on funding decisions. And I would also need to check with staff just to see kind of what that would look like in terms of staff time and resources that would be required to create a report like that. Obviously, we're talking about a good number of districts who are non-QCOMP districts that we would have to be interfacing with to figure out how they're using these monies and how that money is kind of tied to student achievement. And again, in that short of a window, I'm not really sure if that's feasible. Certainly, that's something that we could work on with you just on the fly. I'm not really sure logistically how that would work.
Thank you. Senator Claussen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, just to be clear, these are implementation funds, and this will be for a lot of training that will be taking place for peer review. I think districts will also use that as ongoing training and reviewing how their district is progressing. So, as Mr. Corte said, I think it would be difficult to have any long-range projections from that because it is for implementation funding only.
Members, I think the points are well taken. Next year for a new budget, we clearly will be looking at this subject in a broader context and getting evaluation information on related programs will certainly be before policy committee. So I guess we have that acknowledgement of that issue. Senator Johnson, did you have a follow-up?
Yes, Mr. Chair and maybe Mr. Cordy, if and Senator Torres Ray, what about if you ask for a report in February of 2015? No, what's next? We're 14 now, so if you asked in February of 2016. Because then you would have a whole year of school and planning, and it would still give you time to evaluate from, say, June of 2015 until February of 16. And at that time, it's highly likely that we might want to bring in some more funding for this program, and it would be interesting to see how far you go with $10 million for 1 year. Would that make it more useful, would you say, Mr. Cordy?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, yes, I think that, you know, this money that's appropriated in fiscal 15 will be used throughout the school year, the 14-15 school year. So if we wanted to get a full picture of how that money was used, we'd want to make sure that we're taking a look at the entire school year. I think that the only concern that I would have is that if the committee was relying on or intent, if Senator Torres Ray's intent was to have a picture of how this money was spent in order to make decisions in next year's budget session, then, you know, 2016 might be too late. But I think if you're looking to get the most reliable data, then you'd want to make sure that we had the full scope of the 14-15 school year to look at how this $10 million was spent.
Senator Torres Ray.
Mr. Chairman, the one-time appropriation nature of this makes it very difficult to really do evaluation. There is an issue, though, that I have been learning a lot about that I think you know quite well, the department, and is that we typically engage in very random actions and very random approaches, pretty much anything when we propose, when we provide funding to the districts. And some districts do outstanding work, and some other districts have more challenges to get there. So I do think that there is a value on trying to figure out how this actually works. You know, who is doing this outstanding job? Sometimes the districts themselves are putting money into this to make it work. I would like to know about that. And I agree with Senator Clausen, you know, the kind of one-time nature of this appropriation makes it very difficult for us to do that. But at least I would like to get the commitment from the department to say, okay, this is how we distributed the money. This is what we know is happening out there. This, you know, this particular district secure some funding out of their own funding to do this, and this is how far they got, and this is the result. Because if we don't do that, we come here with this random approach, okay, just here's the money, go distribute it, and God bless you. And I think that's the problem, the core problem that we have right now, that we just really don't know about best practices, we don't know how to use those incredible opportunities that result in the districts to really change the outcome for others. And so that's mainly my concern, not just so concerned that the department is not doing its job, but it's more how do we take advantage of opportunities, and I don't think that we're doing that well enough. So I don't know if you can make a commitment on behalf of the commissioner, but that's what I think we need to do to learn. How do we get out of this? What do we get out of this, you know, one-term appropriation that we can use for the long term? I think that's what we're talking about, mm-hmm. Senator Johnson. I don't know.
On the question, Mr. Cordy, and then
Mr. Chair and Senator Torres Ray, absolutely. I mean, you would have our commitment that we'll work with the proponents of this bill and also with the other stakeholders to figure out to what, you know, what does this $10 million buy you in terms of progress toward quality, full implementation of teacher evaluation, and, you know, what are those stakeholders and what do we at the department through our analysis see as, you know, might be additional to that $10 million that's really needed to do a full implementation. I think that there's been discussions last year and this year as well that, you know, there's probably an agreement that $10 million, that there's a consensus among the stakeholders that $10 million isn't enough, but it's a start, and I think that we could, you would have my commitment that we would look and see kind of how far that gets you to your goal of having this be a high-quality implementation of this program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Johnson.
One more comment, and this is, again, I think it's really important that we analyze what happens with money when we put it forward and look what we get for it and find out whether it's worthwhile, especially when we kind of have the idea that we're going to go forward with this plan, and I certainly support that. It brings back something that little comes up to my mind quite often, that we probably should have done something like that about the early learning scholarships. You know, we spent a lot of money last year, and we put out a lot of money last year, taxpayer money, and we really haven't evaluated or really gotten a report. At least I haven't gotten any report about what we have got, what we received from that 40-some million dollars. And then without any evaluation going on and adding some more or even some information. So, again, just that's just a thought for the committee and think about.
No, the importance of the evaluations noted. And on the early learning scholarships, we would be getting a report in 2016 as proposed in our draft on in the omnibus bill that's in finance. But the importance is recognized.
Yeah. And, Mr. Chair, and that's because I mean, we put more money into it before we get that evaluation is what I'm getting at. Okay. So thank you very much.
Okay. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to address Senate File 2459 as amended? If not, before us, we have 2459 as amended. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question, and I apologize for being late. If I could ask Senator Clausen about a phrase that appears throughout the bill, looking at it on line 3.2, where we talk about the observation and interview notes of peer coaches may only be disclosed to other school officials with the consent of the teacher being coached. And I guess my question, Senator Clausen, is it's pretty standard for peer evaluators, peer coaches, to share information with let's call them school executives, administrators. This seems to be very limiting that the supervisors wouldn't necessarily have all the information if any information is required to teacher consent. Is that what was intended here, or?
Senator Clausen.
Yep, Mr. Chair, Senator Pratt. Connected with this, the peer evaluators will be submitting an official report. So they will be putting down their observations on paper, pencil, or computer forms and so on. So they will be making their final reports. I think one of the concerns was because these are peers that are conducting this and they've gone through an extensive amount of training, that this would be something, if they have personal notes that they would like to have from those observations, that they would not necessarily be shared. However, as a former school administrator, I was always told that if you don't want anyone to see anything, don't write it down. So I think if it ever comes down to a point, I'm not sure, you know, in a legal contest of some sort, that I'm not sure that would be valid. Perhaps there's another.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Clausen, I appreciate the work you've done on this. I think this is a bit too open. I think that there has to be a disclosure to the supervisor because they're ultimately responsible. But, Mr. Chair, if I may ask one more question.
Yes.
Thank you. Senator Clausen, is there any discussion in your bill about evaluating peer evaluators? I mean, you know, what we're talking about is there has to be something that says the peer evaluator is doing an effective job as well. We don't want somebody just giving glowing reviews because they may have gone through the training, but they don't. They may not be following through or may not have the fortitude to say something negative. And being in management for, you know, several years, I've seen people do that. And not want to take on that difficult conversation. Can you talk about that at all?
Mr. Chair, Senator Pratt, just to point out again that these peer reviewers will be doing a report that a supervisor and a principal would be reviewing, so they would be getting that. I can only speak to our district, Rosemont Apple Valley Eagan Schools, when I was there, that our peer reviewers signed up for a two-year commitment to that. And they had extensive training that took place, and then they were assigned to a building and assigned X amount of people that they would be working with, teachers. The principal in that school then would be working with that person. I had several meetings with many of the peer reviewers that were assigned to my building. We had discussions about their progress. We had discussions about any issues they were having. So we had those weekly or daily discussions as needed. So I feel confident that any supervisory kind of issues were handled in that manner.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think Senator Claussen touched on something earlier that you're right. This is just one piece of the overall evaluation process. And, you know, as we think about peer evaluators and I think about my colleagues, you know, you want that sense of trust and confidentiality, and here are five things that you need to do to get better, and you hope that they're getting better before they get that formal evaluation from maybe one of their administrators. So we don't want this gotcha moment that's spelled out in every document that goes into someone's file. We want this sense of collegiality, sense of trust, confidentiality. Let's build each other up as a profession rather than, hey, here's, you know, five things you did wrong, and I'm going to tell your principal about it. So it's one piece, and I think it's the right approach. If you really want anyone to step forward to be a peer coach, I mean, people don't like to take time out of their classroom anyway and be away from their kids. And so we struggle to find these people, A, and then we're going to say, by the way, you're going to find 15 things wrong with this teacher that you're evaluating. We want you to build your colleagues up, and we want you to get them better in that piece, and then we will have that formal evaluation as well from a principal.
Ms. Olson?
Excuse me, Senator Claussen. My name is Jane Gillis. I'm here with Jody Olson from Education Minnesota. Right. And I came up to help Senator Claussen on this issue of peer review. The language around the notes was struck in a discussion with all the major education stakeholders who have testified here today. The attempt was not in any way to keep all of the data from the peer review from the administration in each building. Instead, what we're trying to do is protect the trust and confidentiality that you just spoke about, Senator Dahl. It's very important to our members, Education Minnesota members, that they have that opportunity for formative evaluation with their peers in addition to the summative or high-stakes evaluation that they have with their school administrators. So certainly there will be forms and processes that will be passed to the administration as part of the peer review, but the confidential notes, the most critical things that are important in that trusting confidential relationship between the peer reviewer and the teacher, that's the limited set of data that we were trying to protect with that language.
Thank you. Sarah Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to address some of the thoughts of Senator Dahl, I absolutely agree. We don't want gotcha moments. Effective managers will always tell you that when you do a review, you don't want the employee to be caught by surprise, that you want them to have seen this feedback time over time over time so that you can not only address the issue, but you can address the success of achieving it and also address what still needs to be done. So I want an evaluation system that does that. I absolutely agree, and this isn't about gotcha, but we do have administrators that have to make very difficult decisions, particularly when it comes to tenure, and I want to make sure that they have the best and most complete information as possible to assess the growth or lack of growth of an employee and also assure that the steps taken for that employee have been adequate. And that, you know, they shouldn't just be looking at it in 3 years when tenure comes up, but they should be looking at it on a regular basis and making sure that they agree with the direction and the recommendations the peer coach is making as well. So that's the perspective I'm coming from. I'm not trying to necessarily catch anybody by surprise or punish them in any way. I really, We've in the Prior Lake School District, we've had a peer mentor program for many, many years that our new teachers tell us, and even teachers that have come to us from other districts, tell us is a great program and has really done a good job of making sure that particularly our youngest teachers, our least experienced teachers, are successful.
Thank you. Further comments, questions? Not Senator Claussen, thank you for your efforts and for the bill that we have as amended. It was not formally. She did not propose it. There being no further discussion, Senator Jensen moves that Senate File 2459 as amended with the A5 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Finance Committee. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, members. Our meeting's adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee.